Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
This is At Home Connecticut, hosted by Joey Burgoyne, highlighting events and happenings that are taking place in your home, Connecticut, on WTIC News Talk 1080.
Good morning and welcome to another episode of At Home in Connecticut. I'm your host, Joey Burgoyne, and joining me is a friend of the morning show, the friend of the station, just a friend in general, Rich Hanley, the man who wears more hats than anyone I've ever known, professor emeritus at Quinnipiac, does journalism, does sports. There's so many things, and one of the things under his belt that not a lot of people know about is the movie credits, the directing, the writing, the star-studded spectaculars that he produces. And one of the recent ones is, it's a little-known thing in a little-known state of Connecticut in the northwest corner, Salisbury, or Swassa, as a lot of people up there know. It's the ski jumping area, and the documentary is The Jump that he did. Rich, thank you for joining me this morning.
Oh, thank you, Joey. It's great to be here.
So The Jump, your new documentary and your repertoire, what made you look in the northwest corner in Connecticut and go, there's a ski jump up there? I need to do something about this.
I had that idea rumbling in the back of my head for years because I had heard about it but had never been there. Then I read a story in a newspaper about their fundraising drive and how they had to get it done real quickly. And I said, wow, there's a story here. I've always wanted to go up there. Let me see what the story is and let's see if we can make a film out of this. And so I talked to the folks up there and visited in 2012. And I said, okay, this is a story. I'm going to get the crew, film crew together and whatnot. We're going to interview people. We're going to look in the archives. We're going to do all this other stuff. I actually had a drone, one of the primitive drones up there. But the unfortunate thing in 2012 was it didn't snow. Hmm. So although they made snow on The Jump, the show was a little, you needed a lot of snow up there. This is a snow globe story. But I knew it was a story. I knew it was an interesting story. And I knew that the central character, a guy by the name of Roy Sherwood, would be a great piece of the story and be almost the centerpiece of it all, because few people know who he was and what he accomplished. He's an Olympian. An Olympian from Connecticut in a Nordic sport is very highly unusual.
And that's the thing. I mean, you get into it with the documentary of how the ski jumping landed, no pun intended, in this area of Connecticut that didn't know what ski jumping was. And some people moved in, some immigrants, and Roy kind of got, I don't want to say messed up with them, but, entangled in the thrill of ski jumping and just the domino effect that was produced by that.
Yeah, some folks from the Saintry family from Norway moved, to Salisbury, and they introduced ski jumping to Salisbury. And it took on really quickly. And Roy, who was born in the 30s, takes it up when he's a young boy. And he wants to do it so much, he quits high school, and just becomes basically a full-time ski jumper in winter and works for the highway department all of the times and just jumps. He doesn't have a coach. He teaches himself how to do it. And it's a remarkable story because it's the classic hero's journey, both for the town and for Roy Sherwood. That is, they had to overcome obstacles to find, where they needed to be. And Roy had, several obstacles to overcome, including a bout with polio after he had been named to the U.S. Olympic team in the 50s.
And I mean, that whole story is just amazing. And then in the documentary you get into, you know, this, there was no funds. Like the tower was literally falling apart, and the town just rallied together to save the ski jump. And Roy played an integral part in that also.
Yeah, that's the intersection of the plots of the film, and that you have a ski jumping tradition in Salisbury for, you know, 90 years or so. And then it's clear that the wooden jump is falling apart. It was made out of old telephone poles and lumber, swaying in the breeze, and all those years being in the New England wind and New England winters had weakened it. And it got to the point where we're either going to stop ski jumping or we're going to build a new ski jump. But the thing is, a new ski jump costs $750,000 that we don't have as an all-volunteer organization. So they had to quickly raise the money and get the town to support it. And so there's one point in the film, a spoiler alert, that I describe as electrifying at a town meeting in February of 2010.
It was. I was watching it, like I said, we were watching it on the couch, and I was just like, that's flipping amazing. Like, the people that stepped up and, like I said, we want people to watch the documentary. So, small spoiler alert, we won't give it all away, people. You got to go watch the documentary. And it was just, I mean, and you brought up the volunteer effort. I mean, in the documentary, you get into that, the volunteer manpower that puts this event on year in and year out, because they do. And we're going to talk to Willie Hallahan later in today's show about Jump Fest and just the continuation of, you know, this little town up in the northwest corner, Salisbury, Connecticut, that most people in the state probably couldn't pin it on a map. It's a tradition up there.
Yeah, it is. It's part of their cultural identity and tradition. And so when the town gets together and says, well, let's do this, and then obviously the ski jump is new and it's there. Well, it's, you know, it's a little bit, you know, it was about 2011, so it's 14 years old now. But what I find always remarkable is that volunteers using basically farm implements, corn blowers, rakes, shovels, climb that tower and snow it in, put the snow on it, groom the snow so it's perfect for you know, elite ski jumpers. And the fact that they do this all night before Jump Fest, or before any event up there, make sure that everything is perfect, is remarkable, because it's heavy manual labor, you know, using farm implements. They're not designed for ski jumping. You know, they do have some snow making machinery there, but they do it, and they do it year in, year out, and do it. It's such a great job because they're all proud of it. And they're all, you know, very, very happy that it makes Salisbury happy. It really is a community effort, small town values, that sort of thing. And that really impressed me when I first started looking into this story. I said, wow, they volunteer to do this? And yeah. We have great, great footage, contemporary footage of the act of putting the snow on the ski jump. I mean, that's a pretty steep tower.
Yeah.
And that they do this every year. And it is quite remarkable. And, you know, it testifies that, you know, when you got a town that really likes something and wants to preserve its tradition, it can get together and do what needs to be done to make sure it continues into the future for more generations to enjoy.
And that's the thing. I mean, it's a small little town in Connecticut, but the ski jump has, you know, the world renowned fame. And to take someone like Roy, who went on to the Olympics and competed and was born right here in a little city of Salisbury, Connecticut. It's just awesome. So if people want to check out the jump documentary, Mr. Rich Hanley, where should people check it out?
Well, it's available on, it premiered on January 13th, and it's been run a few times on CPTV since. Now it's being run today and Monday on CPT Spirit, their secondary channel, but it's also available full length, no breaks, on CPTV's website. It's available on CPTV's channel on YouTube, and it'll be available on PBS stations everywhere in the United States. It's already on the PBS Passport app, so it's hard to miss. If you just search, you know, CPTV The Jump, you'll land on the video page. You can watch it there, you can watch it on the app. There's so many ways to watch it. But that was one of the things we wanted to do with the show. We didn't want to restrict distribution. We wanted to blow it out to everyone because it's such a good story. you know, we live in you know, interesting times, as they say, and it's a good story about good people doing something together for something they really, really love.
And it, like I said, it brings a great, there's a lot of pride up in that town about this. So I appreciate you, and I'm sure the town appreciates you immensely for doing what you did, Rich. And it's just something I think everyone needs to realize that, you know, there's little things like this, and they make big impacts across the country and across the nation. In the world of Olympic sports, to have something like this right here in Salisbury, that's pretty cool. So I appreciate you doing this, Rich. Like I said, you know, sentiment, I'm sure, is from the public over there and the residents of Salisbury and the awesome Roy Sherwood, who is highlighting this film in a monumental way. I appreciate you doing what you did, Rich.
That's right. I really, really appreciate that.
All right, because it's things like this and people like Rich to make things possible right here at home in Connecticut. Good morning, and part two of At Home in Connecticut here continues. We just talked with Rich Hanley, director of The Jump, and the thing we're going to get into next is this year's Jump Fest coming up this February, January 31st, the 1st and 2nd of February. And joining me this morning is another great friend, Willie Hallahan. He's a director over at SWASA, the Salisbury Winter Sports Association. Willie, thanks for joining me this morning.
Hi, Joe. Thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it. I enjoy these conversations every year.
It's fun. And I mean, that's one of the things I hope people get out of this. It's just a fun event. Jump Fest 2025 is coming up on the legendary, historic, also celebrating 100th year birthday along with WTIC. So we both started at like the same time.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
Ski jumping,
we have staying power, don't we?
Yeah, ski jumping is a big thing up in your corner of the hill, and the Jump Fest is—it's a thing. Like, tell us about the Jump Fest this year.
It really is. It's difficult to encapsulate in a way because it is a sporting event. Ski jumping is a big winter sport, of course. Everybody's seen it on TV, either the Wide World of Sports if you're of a certain age, or watch the Olympics on TV. But I have to tell, I tell people every time we talk about it, that if you haven't seen ski jumping live, you just haven't witnessed the sport. There's something visceral about being on site. A lot of these are kids, they're young people from as young as 12 going off the big 70 meter hill up to 19, 20 and so forth. But they are so, so talented. You will see future Olympians when you come here. We've proven that over the years. Back in the Sochi, Russia Olympics, three out of the four jumpers on the American team were from the East. And they jumped year after year in Jump Fest. We watched them grow up, and then we see them on TV at the Olympics. So anyway, you're seeing a high caliber of jumper. And the thing I stress is, when you see it live, these kids are jumping. They exit the takeoff at 50 miles an hour plus. Some of the better jumpers are traveling as far as 200 feet through the air. They land on the landing hill right near you. You hear the skis slapping on the landing hill. The crowds erupt. The cowbells are ringing. They got a hot toddy in their other hand. It's just kind of a fun party atmosphere. And I think everybody's so happy because they realize they're a part of something very, very special. I mean, go to work Monday morning and you're at the water cooler, if those things even still exist, and everybody's talking about their weekend, you say, I went to the jumps in Salisbury, everybody's going to want to know about it.
Yep.
Because it's something, it's rare. There are only like six jumps in the East anymore, and Salisbury is one of them. So it's a combination of a sporting event, but it's a social thing. And as I say, it's, if you imagine the most fun party you ever went to, this is just like that, except it's outdoors and it's in the wintertime.
I think one of the things, you know, it's the pride of the town. I mean, the whole town seems to come out for this event when the weekend approaches.
It does, for sure. And half the town volunteers. I mean, it takes a whole bunch of people. You talked about it takes a village. It certainly does to put on the ski jumps, because there's hours of snow making. There are people over there at 3 o'clock in the morning checking to make sure the snow guns are operating okay. There's snow management, moving it around, putting it on the towers. There's the people who man the cook shack and sell tickets and measures. It takes a whole bunch of measures to physically measure the jumps when they happen. There are people involved in publicity on and on and on. It takes half the town. What we pride ourselves in, among the things we pride ourselves in, is that we're an all-volunteer organization. Nobody gets paid to do anything there. Many of us have been involved for 20, 30, 40 plus years. So it's a labor of love, certainly.
So this weekend coming up on Friday night, the gates open at 6. Everything kicks off. I mean, I'm looking out the window here. It's been a chilly winter, which is great. Like, we need cold for lots of different reasons in the winter.
Yes, we do.
But, I mean, like you said, you guys make the snow. If it is going to be chilly and people are hesitant to come out, we're going to have some hot chocolate. Like, what can people expect for the schedules if they're coming out Friday, Saturday, or Sunday?
Well, there will be bonfires. We have these two big raging bonfires to keep you warm. We have a cook shack and food trucks there for food. There are all kinds of beverages. There's a craft beer tent, a hot toddy tent, or you can get the hot chocolate or coffee. We're a very family-friendly event. We encourage children to come because we'd like them to get involved in ski jumping if they want. We teach ski jumping. With all the things we do, our core mission is to teach children to ski jump. It all boils down to that. Rebuilding our facilities and all that, hosting these events, it's all about the kids, because when a child learns to ski jump, it can change their life. They end up with a self-confidence that they might not have had that carries through them the rest of their life, whatever they do. So that's what we're most proud of, and that's our mission statement. So we're very family friendly. Adult tickets are $15 a person. We haven't changed the price, I don't think, in 20 years. Children 12 and under are free. I want to get as many people in to witness this event as we can. If for some reason people can't make it, they say, "Oh, I wish I could. I've never been there. I wanted to, but I can't make it." We will live stream. You can go to our website, jumpfest.org, and you can click on and live stream it. You can also go there, and I really advise you doing it if you're driving from the Hartford area to Salisbury. Just before you come, just check that website, jumpfest.org, just to make sure the schedules haven't changed. The weather's looking good, but the biggest enemy of ski jumping is wind. So for some reason, wind came out of nowhere and we had to postpone or cancel an event. You would want to know that. Sometimes it just happens and we've temporarily paused jumping while a front comes through or something. Yep. It just plain happened. It's an outdoor event in February. What could possibly go wrong?
Mother Nature, she's confusing sometimes.
Yeah. But I think if I wanted to leave your listeners with one thought is, if you haven't seen it before, you have to see ski jumping live. You'll see top caliber jumpers, future Olympians. It's something you just can't capture on TV. And
yeah.
It's a fun place to be. And you will be back. You know, I do exit interviews with people as they left. They said, first time here, loved it, beyond our expectations, we'll be back next year.
That's awesome. And, you know, one of the things, so we were watching, you know, the documentary on the jump from Rich Hanley, and me and the kids were watching, and I was waiting to, they're going to have to listen to this show. I'm going to force my kids to listen to this show now, because one of them asked, why are there little sticks sticking out of the snow on the jump? And I was like, I know the perfect man to ask that question. So why?
Well, it's very interesting. They're little sprigs of evergreen. They're about 6 inches. They stick 6-8 inches out of the snow. We plant them about every 5 yards down the landing hill. They're also on the in run. That's the ramp that the jumpers come down. And it's to give the jumper depth perception, because without them, all they see is a white blur. They have no idea where they are in relationship to the ground when they're in midair. All they see is a white haze. But those little sprigs popping up three-dimensionally on the landing hill give them the depth perception they need.
There you go. If anyone's watching or they're out there this upcoming weekend, they're wondering, why is there twigs and branches on the hill?
And
now you know.
we ask people when they take down the Christmas trees to drop them off at the jumps, and we cut them up and use them for just that purpose.
Well, there you go. It's keeping things going, keeping it local, keeping the community involved. That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. So again, jumpfest.org. If people want more information, it's this upcoming weekend, the 31st, 1st, and 2nd. I don't know if Punxsutawney Phil is going to recommend you ski jumping, but I am. So get out there and do some jumping this weekend. Watch it. These, like, you know, like Willie said, you could be watching Olympians in the making this coming weekend up in Salisbury. The Salisbury Winter Sports Association and one of the directors, Willie Hanahan, joining us this morning because it's things like this going on right here at home in Connecticut.
You've been listening to At Home in Connecticut, a public service project produced by WTIC News Talk 1080.